Welcome. You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. May God help you to rightly understand and eternally benefit. By the way, if you are listening on an iPhone, install the free podcast app called Overcast, then search for Benefit from the Bible. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, we find ourselves in an unusual situation within the world, within our nation, within our own community, but yet God is still God. God is the Almighty God. He is on the throne. He is in control of all things, and He calls us to trust in Him no matter what. Let's know how blessed we are. Do you ever stop and smell the roses? In other words, do you ever pause, count up your blessings, realize how very blessed you are, and then give thanks to the great giver of every good gift? I know I don't do that often enough, but if we do that though, or I should say, when we do that, what happens? We end up turning from having possibly negative thoughts or thoughts that can make us anxious, turning to very positive things, turning to the Almighty God, and realize how very blessed we are now, and realizing that even greater blessings await us in Jesus Christ. Think about it. We all have the basics of food, clothes, shelter. Everybody in the world has such things. We also have people who know us and care about us. What a wonderful thing. Think back at the time when the plague was working its way across Europe, and some people estimate that 75 to 200 million people died back at that time. They say, though, that with most Christians, they did not die. It was mostly the ones who did not believe in Jesus are the ones who died. Why is that? Did God spare the ones because they believed? No, that wasn't the case. What was going on then is with the plague, it wasn't necessarily a deadly thing, but what happened is people would get very dehydrated and they needed people to come and help them and care for them so they could get through it and recover. The problem was everyone was afraid of going near everyone else, so for the unbelievers, they were kind of out there on their own by themselves, but for the ones who were believers though, they went to the other people and they did care about them. They made them some chicken noodle soup and they gave them the things they needed to be able to get through the illness and to recover, and they did. God wants us to think about such things. Maybe we can't apply all of it that way today though, but let's be thankful that we have people who care about us, who are concerned about us, who would take action for us, and may God help us to take action for others according to their needs. We also have other great, great blessings beyond what most people in the world have. So we have God our Father, we have His Holy Word, we have His Holy Son, we have the Holy Spirit, we have the gift of eternal life, and many, many other amazing, amazing things. As we get into our text today, we're in Romans chapter 5, where we're going to focus on some other eternal blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. Going right to our text here, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So justified by faith, that really takes us to the sermon last Sunday when we focused on the work that God did to justify us. And what did I say? Our justification, being right in the sight of God, is 0% us and 100% God. Why does it have to be that way? God is the one who took action to show us our helplessness. God is the one who took action to give us faith in Jesus Christ and receive the benefits of what He has done. And God is the one who continues to take action through word and sacrament to keep us trusting in Jesus Christ. So hopefully you can clearly see it is 0% us, it is 100% God. What about being at peace with God? When God made the world, everything was perfect. The people He made, they were at peace with God. When they fell into sin, it destroyed that peace. But then God promised his son, and God enabled the people to look to the coming Savior, and again, they had peace with God. For us, he's given us faith. We now have peace with God. So let's know how blessed we are to be reconciled to the Almighty God. When we think about the world being in need, for people who are rejecting Jesus Christ, they don't have an open line to the Almighty God, because we go to him through Jesus. But for us who know Jesus, though, we can pray for the whole world. We can pray on their behalf because we know Jesus Christ, and we should do that. God has given us that opportunity. God has given us that privilege. Let us do so. People need our prayers. Going further here, verse 2 of the text, it says, through Jesus, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace. In other words, this amazing love of God in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not such an easy verse there to understand, but first of all, let's think about the topic of grace. So grace truly is amazing. Grace is God loving us even though we are undeserving. So how does God love us? Well, God loves us especially as we look at the cross. Let's know that God loves us now. He's providing all that we need. Let us know that God loves us unconditionally. If we're good, God loves us. If we're bad, God still loves us. That's good news. And then God will love us forever and ever. What about the topic of hope here? Hope in this context is our confidence in the glory of God. So how are we thinking about the glory of God? The Bible says that when Jesus comes, we will have a glorified body like his body. Think about how his body was when he appeared to his followers on Easter Sunday. So he had a body, he was able to eat food, he was able to be touched, but yet he still had the marks on his body from the cross, but he had a body that was wonderful in many ways, a body that would never die again. So we have something great to look forward to, a glorified body. And then also regarding the glory of God, right now, we don't know the glory of God. We can't stand in the presence of the glory of God. However, though, the day is coming after Jesus returns when we will be with God in all his glory forever and ever. How awesome will that be? That is coming, and we can be certain of it because God has promised it. God is almighty, and God must do what he has promised. And then coming to this next part here, we're focusing on suffering, endurance, character, and hope. How does that all fit together? Well, in this section here, it is going to talk about how sufferings are actually good. And that sounds unusual, but let me talk about it so we can see what God is saying, and we can understand that, in fact, they can be good. Going to verse 3, it says, and not only that, but also we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. So first of all, what kind of sufferings here are we talking about? We're talking about suffering brought on by outward circumstances. In other words, we're not talking about self-inflicted suffering. We probably all have plenty of that. We can do different things to kind of mess things up on our own. But when suffering is coming from the outside, God can use that. So even though it's not pleasant, let me tell you how God wants to use it to be a blessing in our lives. So we go on now to the topic of endurance. What does the Bible mean by endurance? The Bible is referring to steadfast adherence to a course of action in spite of difficulties and testings. Let's try to make a practical example here. So imagine a runner and he's in a race, and partway through the race, he has some kind of an injury. So no longer can he run, he can limp, it hurts, but what does he do? He keeps moving toward the finish line. He's not going to give up, even though he's suffering. That's endurance. Now, what about character? The Bible says endurance produces character. The Bible is referring here to someone having the quality of having stood the test. So going back to the runner again, here's the runner. He was running, now he's limping. It really hurts bad, but yet what does he do? He digs deep within himself. He's not willing to give up no matter what. He presses on, and with the blessing of the Almighty God, he finally crosses the finish line. And then the Bible says that character, the person having finally crossed the finish line, now he has a strong character. And what does that do? The Bible says character produces hope. Here we are referring to a Christian hope, not a worldly hope, not wishful thinking, but a Christian hope. In other words, no matter how bad things might seem, we are trusting in God, we are waiting upon God, and we know that God is at work in our lives, causing all things to work together for good. So this thing or this thing or this thing might not seem good in and of itself, but God is saying, trust me, I can see your whole life. I can see the big picture. I'm going to take all these little bits and pieces. I'm going to work them all together into something that is truly good. And then Paul gave an explanation here in verse 5. He wrote, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Imagine being certain of something and telling a whole bunch of other people what you are certain about, and then that particular thing doesn't happen. What would be the result? You would be put to shame for having thought something would happen, telling others about it, being so sure, and yet it doesn't happen. Think about these different church bodies that predicted the end of the world, the return of Jesus Christ, and yet he didn't come. We're still here. Didn't that bring some shame upon those people, thinking that they knew the date and yet they were wrong? But what God wants us to know, though, is even in this world, people can shame us as believers in Jesus Christ. They can call us fools, but yet God is saying to us here that that might happen as we live, but on the day that Jesus comes, no one is going to put us to shame because the blessed hope that we held onto our entire lives, knowing that Jesus is God, knowing that he did a finished work, knowing that through him we have the gift of eternal life, finally when he comes, everyone's going to see that, and we're certainly not going to be put to shame at that time. God is saying to us, know that is true. Do not give up no matter what. And then going on here to the final part of the sermon, going to verse 6, Paul wrote, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. So we were more than weak. We were unable to justify ourselves. Like we focused on last week, it is 0% us, 100% God. There's absolutely nothing we could do. There's nothing we can do now. It is all the work of God. Now, it is true that once God brings us to faith in Jesus Christ, now he calls us to cooperate with him. But we can only cooperate with him to the extent that he gives us the ability to cooperate with him. How do we cooperate? We gather like we are today. We gather down the hall for a Bible class. We open the Bible day by day and read it and think about it and pray. We do different things, cooperating with the work of God. But ultimately, though, God has to do all of it. We can't do anything. When it comes to salvation, though, we were completely helpless. And not only helpless, but it says here we were ungodly. So that means that we were irreverent, that we were godless, that we were running away from God, that we wanted nothing to do with God. That was the situation. Let's put it this way. We are blessed when we know that we are poor, miserable sinners. Why is that such a blessing? It's a blessing because Jesus died for poor, miserable sinners. It's a perfect fit. We have a huge problem, and he lived and died to take away that huge problem. Paul goes on here, finishing up. He wrote, "For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die." So a righteous person versus a good person. What can we say? A righteous person is someone who does what is right. A good person is someone who does good for the benefit of others. Did God somehow take action for us because we are good? By no means. So Paul explained then and wrote, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So there was nothing good in us at all. God didn't say, "Oh, you are decent people and you're trying hard, therefore I'm going to send my son and he's going to die for you." It wasn't anything like that at all, but we were completely, completely undeserving of anything. That is when God did it. God wants us to know that he did it because of his love for us and not because of some quality of love within us. In other words, we were not lovable, but God loved us because of who he is, not because of who we are. As believers in Jesus, we are so blessed. We are right in the sight of God. We are at peace with God. We can even rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that God is at work in our sufferings in order to greatly bless us, and we can know that God loves us unconditionally. It's not that when we're good one day, he loves us that day. When we're bad the next day, he doesn't love us that day. God's love is unconditional. What a wonderful thing. Let us be thankful. Let us be excited about what God has done and is doing. And let us also think then about others who do not have the eternal blessings that we have. What can we do about that? Here's what I'm recommending, that all of us identify a few people who are potential members with us here at Bethlehem. Think about people that you know within your neighborhood, within your family, within your workplace, people who live in our area who are not connected to Jesus Christ. Identify a few potential members, pray for them that they would be receptive to the things of God. Ask God to show us the best way for us to approach them on the topic. Ask God for courage to reach out to them, and then follow through by giving them one of our Bethlehem visitor packets, because that has some good basic information that God, I believe, could use in a powerful way in their lives. May God help us to think through such things, and may he move us to action. Let us pray. Father in heaven, cause us to rejoice in Christ, and also cause us to invite others that they might benefit too from your Son and from his finished work. In his name we pray. Amen. Thanks for listening. If you have a Bible question, contact me, Robert Green, through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. If you are searching for a church home, see our website and attend with us. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all.